Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we are here. That's right, we, Pat Hamilton.
Yes.
And John Ramos.
Good morning.
Are here to encourage you this morning. I am so glad that we are live again this morning, although we had some awesome treasures that was made available by the team. We have so much to share with you. God is speaking clearly, and we've just been praying for boldness this morning. We're going to share it with you. We're going to share it with you. Whether darkness likes it or not, we're going to share it with you. Because it's the truth that sets us free. So stay tuned this morning. We're going to be talking about some prophetic words, some strategic happenings, and how God has let us know before the news media knew what's taking place. The news behind the news. We give a shout out this morning to all of our listeners. I want to welcome our new listeners this morning to the VFN Radio program. Welcome Kevin and Steve and Brenda and Mark and Roger and Johnny and Tammy and James and Galen and Steven and you too, Mark. Actually, we have three Marks who's joined us there. Louise, Robert, Ray, Don, Eric. I mean, on and on and on. Welcome, Bernice. Welcome all of our listeners. We'll give a shout out this morning to Joanne in New York. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your encouragement standing with us. Give a shout out to Peter in the Emerald Coast. Peter, thank you for standing with us. All those that are helping fill the virtual stadium, thank you, thank you, thank you. Give a shout out this morning also to Houston. Good morning, Houston. Good morning, Barbara. They came to your house to bless you. 777 A Maison.
Wow.
Good morning, Regina. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this morning is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And John Ramos.
Good morning.
Well, here we are, man. I'm so glad to be back live again on VFN Radio. We had a couple days we had to get some things in order, and we had some great treasures. You know, what are they called?
VFN Radio's Timeless Treasures.
Timeless Treasures. Because there's so, you know, think about it. You know, somebody says, well, you know, I've heard that before. Well, you know, the Bible's 2,000 years old. I mean, you know, it was written a little bit ago. It's all heard before. But the thing is, we need reminding.
That's right. And I know
you
I do.
You don't want to just hear once that you're saved by grace. You want to hear it continually and be reminded of it.
Hello.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I am looking at a brand new door right now in the studio as they were putting in some stuff and all that. And for some reason, I'm seeing light on the door.
Are you really?
I am really, man. It is a beautiful day in the Emerald Coast.
Oh, thank goodness.
See, wave to the birds flying by there. I guess they're still working on all that, you know?
Oh, my goodness. I get a hold of that contractor guy there. I don't know.
I'm telling you what, it is amazing. Yeah, doors are very important. Without them, you can't get in.
Or out.
Or out. Well, I just want to give a shout out this morning to everyone and got some things we're going to share with you this morning. Very specific things. We're going to be talking about God's news behind the news. But the Lord laid on my heart, and I don't know what I'm going to be sharing with you because somebody told me or I heard some sort of news report. I just know it because God revealed it to me. Mm-hmm. And we'll just weigh it out, and we'll watch what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a track record when God begins to reveal things to me that it's amazing.
Mm. Yeah,
and some of the things he's revealing to me is, you know, if you have been robbing from God, you know, if you've been robbing God, I'm not talking about breaking into some building somewhere and stealing the hair products. I'm talking about, you know, robbing from God.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
You know, if you've been robbing him, this side of, oh my goodness, it would be a good chance to go, you know, God, I am so sorry for stealing from you. I have stole from you for a long time. I have taken the treasures that was yours, and I've used them to pay off my enemy. I don't know, to pay off the power company.
Right.
To pay off people that was threatened to be able to take my kingdom. Oh, I meant my house. I meant, you know, and so I have been robbing you with the tithes and the offerings. I'm saying that this morning because you got to be Jesus said this. He says, you need to be a shrewd manager. Like I would read that, you know, coming from management, in my education and being a business owner and just loving business.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus gives this story. This is God speaking through Jesus, mm-hmm, about how to be a shrewd manager. And this is what, mm-hmm, we have to be. We have to be. You want to be able to do what you can on this side of, oh my goodness, because the other side of, oh my goodness, you're going to have to live with what you did or didn't do, because you're not, mm-hmm, going to be able to do what you could do now. I think it's called repentance, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can repent,
right?
But you have all this regret, and so you just got to say, yeah, I robbed you. There's nothing I can do.
Mm-hmm. That's
you
right.
know, I'm confessing because you caught me, not because I wanted to do what was right. And God accepts that. But you feel so bad about it.
You know? Yeah.
I robbed him all my life, but bless God, he saved me. Mm. And so he says, be a shrewd manager. And you're thinking, this is great. I mean, you sit up, I'm going to learn how to be a manager. And this manager, you know, he's the one running a merch. Imagine he's like running a store for an owner.
Mm-hmm.
And he has all these clients who buy the products, and and so he finds out that he's going to get a transition package, you know, which is a very corporate word for you're out of here. We, mm-hmm, don't want to see you again. And the truth is, if we wanted you, we would not be sending you away. But we're telling you good words so that you will leave in a good terms.
Right.
Right.
So that you won't come back and use these laws to come against us. Nah, that's not true. Anyway,
no.
Could be. I don't know. And so he's finding out he's going to get a notice. Unlike the federal government's doing right now for all the federal employees, they're saying we're not going to give you a notice and told everybody. You don't have to abide by the Hyde rules, whatever it is. It says that if it looks like you're not going to be able to fund the budget, you've got to let them know 6 days in advance that they could lose their job.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I'm nothing like our president. The only thing I can compare our current presidency to, and this is all in due respect, and it's just accuracy based on my knowledge. It seems more like a king. It's like the laws are kind of pushed aside,
right?
And you just hear these new, which is normal. I mean, if you have a king, mm-hmm, you have these decrees. Today off with your head.
Right, right.
Today not off with your head. Isn't it good? The king's saying not off with your head today.
Yeah,
I was listening to one businessman interviewed, and he's talking about he created 250,000 jobs. And he says that's 250,000 more jobs than our current president's created.
Oh, my
goodness. And he said, but the thing is that I'm fearful. I have no idea what's going to come out of our president's mind next.
Mm.
Mm. He just doesn't know. And he says the businessmen, businesswomen in the community, in the nation, mm-hmm, they just don't know what's going to come out next.
Yeah.
And that's a king. A king could do that. A king could get up on the wrong side of the bed, and you could, you know, somebody could come dance before him, and he kind of gets induced and he goes, give her half the kingdom. Give her half the kingdom. It's like, quit giving him so much wine. We're going to lose the whole country, right?
Right.
And that was acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Cut him off right now.
Cut him off right now.
Turn off his mic, quick.
Man, get Herodias out of here. And so, Herodias. Anyway, so he says to be a shrewd businessman. This is Jesus now. This is the Jesus that, you know, kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya, kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya. Let me tell you what he said. This. He said, this guy, and he teaches great with allegories, and he says, he's going to get a transition package. He's going to be fired. And a lot of Americans are going, 23 million Americans plus now. 16 million, I believe, just stepped out of the workforce, period, and just said, we're not 16 million, I forget what the number is. They decided they're just not going to work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it must be the wife.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like some husband goes, yeah, I just decided I'm not going to work anymore. I decided you're out of here. Anyway, so that's right. There's nothing sadder than the wife. Anyway. So he finds out he's not going to be working there anymore, but he's in authority as in a management position. And he realizes that he has this ability or given this authority in this business to be able to distribute products and collect the money for the products. You know, like Pat's hair product, you know,
ooh, you know, all
like,
that gel?
Like $15 a can. a bucket. Mm. No, it's not. He does it just naturally that way. We'll be talking about that in the extra hour. The oh my goodness, I think I see one out of place. Snap, I got a picture. We'll put it up. Anyway, so I mean, he's gonna be fired. And most people will start saying at that point, like, well, first you go through a pity party. I draw my dividend to this company. I've given my life to this thing. I haven't given to the Lord, but I have given to this company. And I've been serving the union, as if it was the union that fought during the war. And and they just feel, I just feel so betrayed. It's like, dude, you worked. They gave you a paycheck.
That's right.
Were you robbing God? If you weren't robbing God, then you can have confidence God's going to take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
If you were robbing God, you'd be a little bit worried because it could be a long transition period, but he's full of mercy and grace.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because if you're robbing God, what we're really saying is that money's God. That right. Actually, Baal is God. The work of our hand is God. And so God just he kind of proves that in our life. So he goes, listen, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. This is Jesus talking, man. This is good. This is Jesus talking. And it's amazing. Still, only 3% of the 97% of the church, the regular church attenders who attend at least twice a month, bless their hearts.
Wow.
And come together with other believers at least twice a month. I mean, just makes
Overdo it now.
Makes Shekinah want to come down, right? Anyway, remind me to tell you about Shekinah. Anyway, so he says, this is what I'm going to do, because he realized I had no longer had favor anymore with this boss. For whatever reason, he's giving me a transition package. So quit trying to make him or her happy, right? It's like, turn outward.
It's
turn
over.
Turn your focus outward. Get rid of the company t-shirt.
Quick.
Give back the mug.
I remember talking to someone once. They were talking about, you know, they're going to lose their job. They're going to lose their job. Going to lose their job. Going to lose their job. And I said, you know what that means? And they leaned forward with great anticipation. And they said, what? I said, that means you're going to do something else. And it's true.
Absolutely.
There was a blessing in store. And so he says, I'm going to start handing the boss's stuff out to the people that come and get the groceries and the product. And it was you know, wheat and stuff. It was not microwave goods or frozen goods, guys.
Oh, no.
Sons of Thunder. It's amazing what can come frozen. If freezers go out, these guys are in trouble.
We're done.
Yeah, the other radio's over as we know it. A weight loss program. What do you do with that? You cook it. Put it on top of the stove. Boil it. And so he started giving it at half price. Can you imagine that? You give a 60-day notice to employees according to the Hyde Amendment or whatever it's called, Hyde Law. And they say, thank you for giving me 60 days. I'm going to build a lot of relationships in these next 60 days.
That's right.
And you start selling your company out at half price. Mm-hmm. And so he said, for you, I'll cut your bill in half. For this one, I'll cut the bill in half. Because if you're at the store, you're thinking, Jesus, this is not good. I mean, you're already having to fire this dude. And now he's messing you over. I almost used a fastener terminology. But he's messing you over. Something that would use with a Phillip head or a standard.
Oh, yeah. I got
you. It took him a while.
It took him a while. Thank God I stopped. Anyway, allegedly. and with that, he started giving everybody, the boss who was firing him, giving them like half off.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't his product. It wasn't his business. And he said, you know, I'm too proud to dig ditches.
Too feeble.
God. You know, I remember digging footers and all that in a construction company when I was in shape. I'm actually in shape now. I'm in a different shape. Now.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And we're all in shape, just different kinds of shapes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why blousing. As Pat would say, with me, I would just say loose clothes.
Blousing.
Dude, whatever it is, terms. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Like camouflage.
It's amazing. It is literally, it's an amazing thing. It really is. We found the Fritos.
What are you wearing? Oh, just a tent.
Just a tent. A bloused tent.
A blousing tent.
No, he really didn't call it that. His mother called it. Her, oh, I just like the way you blouse your shirt. he's Googling that word now. Anyway, so... So he's the boss fired him. So he's this is Jesus. So he's cutting the dude's stuff in half and giving it away. And he says, "I'm too proud to dig a ditch."
Mm.
And what else? I'm too. His eyes roll all the way back. And I'm too old to be able to work to do those things. What he said. Yeah. Something that nature. In other words, he didn't see where he's going to be able to function outside of this. He said, "At least when this is all said and done, and this is where we all need to be, when it's all said and done, we need to be able to have relationships with people. Right. The most important thing was how you're treating people. Because he says, I at least want to be able to be, I want them to invite me into their homes. I don't want to be in the streets. I want somebody that cares about me and realize I cared about them. It's sad to know that he didn't care until he was going to be on the streets, but that made sense.
Yeah.
And so Jesus says, we need to be shrewd businessmen.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be shrewd. And what's about to happen in the world and what's about to happening as we speak in the economy, they're just buying time, by the way. They're just buying time, getting us closer to the proverbial cliff, which I refer to prophetically as a cliff before the government is calling it a cliff.
Wow.
We even have, you know, is America under God's judgment? All these different prophetic words. And it was a ship going towards a waterfall. But I was saying very specifically, they could push now, but they're just getting us closer and closer so the push is easier.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And now they're using cliff. They're calling it some sort of cliff in January. It's the tax cut thing and all. It's when you got to pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
And to be shrewd, this is Jesus is telling, what would be shrewd? How about not robbing God? Mm. You know? Yeah. I mean, do you really want
to
be...
That's a good place to start, right? That'd be a good place to start.
Yeah, I mean, come on, dude. You're not going to have anything anyway probably for a while. Why not do the right things with your marbles now before you lose your marbles? Why not do the right thing with your checker pieces now before you lose your checker pieces? You know, while you have that ability and authority, why not be shrewd now and to start doing what Achan should have done when God said, the first is mine. Mm-hmm. He says, I'll give you this land, Israel, and I'll do all this for you. But the first place, Jericho, belongs to me. All the treasures, all the booty, all the different things coming out of that, gold and the silver is mine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had a man, his name was Achan. And that's what we say. Are you a little Achan?
Yeah.
Are you like pain, Achan? Because you'll start suffering in your life. When you're robbing from God, you'll be suffering.
That's right.
And you'll be suffering without purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Without hope.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Because knew that you robbed God and you're thinking there's no, And so they went in there, they marched around the walls, they shouted. You know, and just like God said, well, the walls fell into the ground. They literally sunk into the ground. And everybody was terrified, and God gave them the victory, and God gave them all the first, because God was going to give them a lot of different battles, successes. Mm-hmm. But this first one, the first, and that's what the tithe is, the first of your increase, it's all God's. But just give me the first, he says. You know, God's into ratios, not amounts.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about that before. And, when Achan, this one man, when he was looking at all this wealth and all this treasure, and America's one of the wealthiest nations in the world and how we're living per capita, and he just saw it and he goes, you know, I don't think I know this is God's, but I can't afford to give God. I can't afford it. And besides, I like that coat and I like that wedge of gold, and I'm just going to take it home and put it in my bank account.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I'm going to bury it in my tent. That's what he did.
Mm.
So God gave them the victory. Then God says this, America, the church in America. We're not talking to people who don't know God or don't even desire. We're talking to the church here.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Then God said, the God that never changes, same yesterday and day for, and forever, he said, well, first what happened was Joshua went out and said, listen, we got a little small little battle we're going to have to fight. You know, these Aites. AI, got to go over there and we'll buzz over there because we already got Jericho. I mean, we knocked that big puppy down in the name of Jesus. We're going to go over here and knock this whole thing out. So we'll just send a couple guys over there. And they were whacked. They could no longer, even though you won big battles in your life, you can't even win the small ones anymore because of this. And they were defeated, and they come running back and just you know, just made in front of and just humiliated. And Joshua falls down on his face, the man who was leading, and he says, what did you bring me here? Oh, my goodness. You just brought us here to kill us. You should have left us in the wilderness, in the desert. Oh, my goodness. Land flowing with milk and honey. We're all destroyed. And God goes, this is how God responds. The same Jesus is his true manager, right? He says, God says, get off your face. Quit whining. Get off your face. Quit complaining. He says, somebody has robbed me. He says, somebody's got my stuff. This is what he said. This is God. He says, somebody's got my stuff. And I want you to find who that is. And I want you to get my stuff back. And whoever took my stuff, whoever took it, I want them gone. Of course, we live in the day of grace and mercy, but if you don't see forgiveness, it's not going to be pretty. You're talking about transition records.
Yeah, right.
That's
you
know what I'm
saying? I transitioned from heaven to... Anyway, so that's a shocker. I mean, everything was falling apart, but it boiled down to somebody was robbing God. Because the everything, the treasures of Jericho, the very first battle, God says, that one's mine, I'll give you the rest. And Achan, who was a little Achan, you know, said that he just couldn't get over it. And so they started parading the people past, you know, Joshua, and God was giving them words of knowledge. And all of a sudden, when Achan came by, can you imagine?
It's like that radar when you go through the airport. Woo, 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 woo. I think this one's it.
Yeah. I see a wedge of gold under your coat. And so...
What's that hanging out of your back pocket, Achan? What is that under that blousing shirt you got on?
Yeah. And so he, and all of a sudden he comes in front and says, well, listen, those 1,000 people made it. I can make it through this TSA checkpoint.
That wand won't hit me.
That wand won't hit me. And all of a sudden he goes there and all of heaven goes, whoop, 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 whoop. You know, it's like, there he is. And God says it's him. And then all of a sudden just immediately rebuke. You know, what are you doing taking from God? Look what you've done. You brought this curse on us because this is what God said, church. And we're talking to believers, not to organizations. Please get over that. We've got to survive this. And we'll only survive it when we find out who the church is. It's people.
That's right.
You know, when somebody says, I love my church, quite often they're not talking about you.
All right.
You know? And you can realize that by how they're treating you. I thought you loved me. I saw your pen. Anyway. So God said,
it was a stained glass.
Yeah.
Tilt.
And God says, I'm out of here. I'm Joshua, if you don't find out who's taking my stuff, who robbed from me, what is mine, I'm out of here. You imagine it's like you already said, okay, God, I'm going to go with you. You told everybody, listen, let's go. Let's do it. And they say, okay, Joshua, we're going to follow you. You go in, and just like God tells you the battle plan, they follow the battle plan. And God gives you victory, and it all looks great. And you're about to go to your next one, a smaller one. You get defeated, and you're crying out to God, what's going on? And you got to do that sometimes. You got to find out, Lord, give me it. What's up? Something's up. I don't know what it is. And he says, somebody robbed my stuff. And this is what happened. God says, if you don't deal with this, and listen, Church of America, if we don't deal with this, we're paying like $1.3 million per baptized believer, while 97% of the church, according to George Barna, is robbing from God. If you don't deal with this, he says, my presence is out of here. God said, I'm leaving. Can you imagine? Leaving?
Wow.
We just showed up. What happened to the promised land flowing with milk and honey? You don't understand. You can't keep robbing from me, and I'm not going to hang around.
Right.
That's all right.
And he said, I'm out of here. And so immediately Joshua said, we're going to find out who stole the stuff, you know? And when they found out, when Achan passed by, Joshua and the Lord identified, this is the man who was robbing from God. he immediately he confesses, when I saw it, it tempted me. I couldn't give it up. And how many people say, it's amazing. And what it is, you have to understand, it's not about money or increase. It's about love. Who do you love?
That's
who
right.
do you trust? And when we love money more than God, mm-hmm. he says, you can't do that. You'll hate right. one and despise the other. You can't serve money and God.
Well, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also.
Exactly.
That's right.
And so God's not after our money. He's after our hearts. And if 97% of the church is robbing from God, that means what? That 3% just kind of hangs in there, doesn't it?
It just doesn't go away.
That's right.
And so, you know, with that, then here we are. And so he says, when I saw it, I couldn't help it. I took it. You know, excuses God didn't buy. And he said, I went and I buried it in my house. I buried it in my bank account. And he buried it in his tent. He went back to his house where he lived. Mm-hmm. He dug a hole in the ground and kept it from men's eyes.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But he didn't understand you can't keep it from God's eyes.
Nope.
Mm-mm.
And many people are suffering in their lives outwardly because of what you did inwardly.
Mm. That's right.
And since you're so convinced that they didn't see the treasures buried in your tent, then you're not even owning up to the reality is the reason why this is going on is what you've been doing out of men's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're criticizing from me for being your fruit. The reason why I lost an AI is because what you got buried in your tent.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And so you see God moving all over the world in a powerful way. But when you get to Europe, when you get to America, you don't see his spirit moving like he's moving in other countries.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's because 97% is robbing God. Let me tell you something. Our economy is hit. We are floating a check right now that's going to be cashed very, very soon. We're coming to the edge of a financial cliff. No matter who gets in office, there's people outside this 4.2% of the population of the world who want to rule the world. They're shifting this economy. I've seen the paper money being destroyed. God has shown me these things. I've seen it in my prophetically. He's shown it to me in a vision. And it's all happening. And if we'll quit robbing from God, if we'll be a shrewd manager and just begin to do what we have to do to be more concerned about how we are in God's eyes and men's eyes instead of trying to please some boss who's in it for the wrong reasons, and realize God will reward us for doing that.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
This is how you'll be a shrewd manager. You just honor God. Honor God. Don't if you get 10 oranges, take that first orange and go give it to somebody.
Yeah, right.
If you get $10, don't go look at your bills and then give to God. Take that $1 and quick as you can, you know, where you're being fed, that's where you want to carry it to the storehouse so you will be fed. But in your offerings, give.
That's right.
And then the rest of it, God says, that's blessed. Listen, I don't know how much time you got left. You know, but no matter what, it just feels good if you started doing like this shrewd young man or shrewd manager and just started doing what's right before he got fired, because he knew that I would be right with men.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're right with loving men and being welcomed in their homes, that means that you're moving in love. It means you're loving God, loving others in your life, right?
That's right.
That's right.
Don't forget, it's time for us to stop robbing God. Maybe God's presence will come back again in this land. And God, in his presence, let me tell you something, everything changes. Everything changes when God shows up. We'll be right back.
Mm.
Have you ever found yourself just wondering who to talk to? Wondering if there's anybody real? You've tried everything. You've looked to every relationship. Find yourself possibly, being an addict, run through every door, every opportunity, and it seems like all your doors are closing. It seems like everywhere you're going, it's just, you turn and you end up in the exact same place. And I relate to you, because that's exactly where I was. I had nobody to turn to, or at least I thought I didn't. I tried everything, and I felt all alone. I felt that there was nowhere else to go, that I could not find the very reason that my life was. I couldn't find my purpose. And I want to encourage you that there is a place to reach out to. You can reach out to Jesus Christ. That he is real. And if you feel that God can't use you, I want to share truth with you that he can. And he wants nothing more than to spend time with you and have a relationship with you. And you can check out the stories and read the stories of other people who are in situations like you, or possibly in worse or just different situations than you. Go to meetmyfather.org and find out your heavenly father that wants nothing more than to know you. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
If you ever heard someone speak about the word of God and you just been in awe and wondered, oh my gosh, I wish I could hear God like that. Well, guess what? You can. I want to demystify the voice of God for you. We have a simple plan for you at iabide.org where you can begin to learn what is your rightful inheritance to hear the Father's voice. God wants to speak to you on a daily basis. He says, my sheep know my voice and they follow one another. That's you. You're his sheep. Get your plan at iabide.org. Hearing God's voice is not as hard as others have made it out to be.
Yeah, I think about that, promise keepers, when Coach mm-hmm. McCartney, began, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get, men together, and we got to get right. people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, mm-hmm. then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums yep. weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what got birthed in us at that particular point was, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you mm-hmm. go look at our history, mm-hmm. our history started with next step. And it was right. it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, and they went back to sleep and they got back mm-hmm. seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily, and we finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death, and we had right. to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus mm-hmm. and fill one particular stadium. And right. he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once.
Mm.
Once. Wow. And then when he would preach once, think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began mm-hmm. to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 900, one-sixth of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits on our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, mm-hmm. or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to them. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on Fill the Stadium Now, and maybe it's a dollar a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on Giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio. You are listening to the one, the only VFN radio station that we are finding out across the land. And I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. We had the proof. He said, well, you know, are you the one? It's like, no, it's us. You know, John was working with somebody and having to prove, you know, we are who we are. Like, no. Well, we're kind of flattered to the fact that you think, well, no, that's us. That's us. Right. That's us. What it was is he did his hair differently and they couldn't recognize him. Oh, my goodness. We're reaching the world. It is amazing, you know, what God is doing. Our vision and what God has spoken, this relationship that we have right now, this conversation that we're in, it's a divine thing. It's a divine thing that God had began this conversation for quite some time ago, and now he wanted to bring the conversation to this point. And even as we're speaking, that conversation is getting deeper and more defined and getting ready for the nations and hearing more clearly what the Lord has said and is going to do. And the Lord's name is going to be magnified. It's going to be the greatest harvest you've ever seen. But if you go back, and it's been so long since we were an agricultural society where every one of us farmed and grew our own things, that before you plant a garden, before, you know, you every great harvest begins with hard soil. You know, it begins with soil that's unprepared, and that has to be prepared. Now, if it's just dirt, I mean, what's the big deal? You just take the tiller out, you take your hoe out, you know, you take your tractor out, and you put your forks down deep into the soil. And go, you know, maybe 12 inches into the soil. You know, imagine like 12 or so forks behind your tractor, and you're just dragging it. And you're breaking up that hard ground. You're breaking it up. And then you're throwing in nutrients, and then you have these little discs, and then you're disking it all in. They spin around. And
wow, you must have done this before. With such detail, you describe this process.
Yes.
I didn't know you were a farm extraordinaire.
Yes, yes, yes. You know how it is. And
Pat, we're learning, Pat.
I know who to call. Some things we didn't know, did we?
Huh?
No.
And then after they pull these rakes across, I'm talking about if you have a small tractor or big, just say a small tractor, and then you have these discs that spin around, and they kind of sift all the nutrients in the soil and all the things that you put in there, and now you're ready to plant. And then when you're ready to plant, you take a pointed trowel, if you would, and pull it behind your tractor, and it goes down deep into the prepared soil, and it puts a trench all the way through the soil, and it pushes other things aside, soil aside, so that you can drop the seed in that trench and systematically drop them in a certain, depending what you're growing. And then it covers it back up again. Mm-hmm. And they go, that's just so neat. That's just so wonderful how that works. And then you water it and you go through all these processes of keeping the weeds out of it. And you put your rows a certain distance apart so that your tractor can come through those rows and you can weed it with the tractor. If not, you got to weed, you know, 14 acres with a hoe. So if you, if you put it far enough apart, you can drive your tractor through there and clean out all the weeds in between. And then eventually you have a harvest. The things grow up, the blade, the stem, the fruit, and all that. And you harvest it and you eat. Well, everybody loves the harvest. But when it comes time to preparing the soil, very few people are lined up for the opportunity. And it's sad to say today that even Americans, most Americans wouldn't even line up to help pull the corn off the stalk. They would say, well, let me know when you got it off, you got it canned or got it frozen or...
Right. You know, I'll help you eat it.
I'll help you eat it. That's pretty much it.
Pretty much.
And, but that's just, you know, that is the earth. But the soil of the kingdom, we're talking about a move of God. The soil of the kingdom is the heart of men. And if we want a move of God, and we do, we're believing God for a third great awakening. You know, it's not over till God says it's over, and you got to hear
that's
that.
That's right.
It is not over till God says it's over. I don't care if your back is up against the Red Sea and Pharaoh's coming to take your head off. If you're looking up and you're listening to God, it ain't over till God says it's over. Because he can part the soil in men's hearts.
Yeah.
And so it's cool when it's the dirt on the earth, but it's the soil of your heart that's hard. And God says, okay, we're going to have a great harvest here. What's the first thing that's going to happen? He's going to break up the hard soil in your heart, our hearts, right? He's going to break up the hard-heartedness. So he's going to let us go through situations that just cause our hearts to be contrite. That's what the word says. God does not turn away from a contrite heart. What contrite means? It means crushed to powder rock. Somebody says, yeah, God doesn't turn away from a broken heart. No, a contrite heart. It's like crushed heart where it was one big boulder rolling through your yard one day, and now it's like some talcum powder you put on your foot. Yeah. I mean, it's that crushed. It's crushed rock. And so basically, it's so what seems like it's horrific right now, you're looking at something about to happen to America that it's just going to rip it apart. But isn't that what you do to the soil of the earth when you're getting ready to begin through a process of bringing forth a harvest?
That's right.
I mean, you're going to have to deal with a hard soil in the earth, and you're going to have to deal with a hard soil in men's hearts, the hard-hearted. And God's not going to move. You're not going to have a harvest in the spiritual realm on top of hard hearts, and you're not going to have a harvest in natural ground on hard soil. You're not going to be able to throw your seed on top of the soil. The soil, the seed has to go down into the soil, and it has to die, because unless the seed dies, it will not, it won't bear anything. And so now these hard things that are coming and has come and is coming to the world and America, understand this, to us, the church, it's just going to make us prepared for a harvest. If we misunderstand it, it could offend us. If our God is not God, and our God is our job or our money or things or stuff or whatever, that's we're going to mess up. But if we understand God is our God, and that everything's Father filtered, and that the hard hearts have to be first softened and tilled and plowed, and when those forks are going into hard earth, it's kind of cool. But when those forks being pulled behind a holy tractor is going through your heart, it's not cool. I mean, how could this all work out?
Right.
I'm being ripped apart by people that I love. I'm being ripped apart by my employer. I'm being ripped apart. I'm being ripped to shreds. How can anything good come from this brokenness in my life? Right. And then all of that brokenness happens, and then you're in God's word and you're abiding with him. And if you haven't begin to buy, go to iabide.org and get a plan now. A simple plan, because you want, when you're being ripped apart, you want, when those discs of situations begin to come and stir up the soil in your heart, you want something to be in there other than the same thing just being moved around a lot.
Mm. I know that's right.
It's no different than in what it was prior to the breaking of the soil. If you didn't put nothing in, no nutrients in that soil when it starts being disked, it's called disking the soil. And it's basically like sifting. There was years ago, by the way, used to be able to, you had to buy flour and you had to sift it first.
Mm-hmm.
You had the sifter thing and it would just, you shake it, bang it, twist it, spin it, different kinds of things. And it would take and bring out the fine parts of it. But the soil is like that. And so if you're hiding God's word in your heart, if you are abiding with God and going through this broken times that we're going to go through, I don't see, I mean, I hope I'm wrong. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. I love air conditioning. I mean, I hope I'm wrong. But I don't think I am. I don't think a lot of us are. I mean, we're hearing the same thing. And we're seeing it. Like, we're already seeing part of it already come to pass. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's already happened. It's history. Right. But it was a prophetic thing to us first.
Mm-hmm.
And then we spoke it, and then we saw it. And now there's other parts that still have to come.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about that in the extra hour. It's going to talk about the Secret Service. We're going to talk about what happened in Libya. We're going to talk about some things the Lord has revealed to us. But if you don't have any word in your life, you're going to go through this like everybody else. I mean, you're going to go through this ripping and this crushing and this disking. And it's just going to knock around your same situation. I mean, if you had a bad attitude that you didn't get rid of before this happened, you're just going to have a bad attitude knocked around, sifted around a little bit.
That's right.
If you were robbing God beforehand and you never began to honor God, for example, then you're just sifting a whole bunch of robbery around, you know? But if you repent and begin to abide and hide God's word in your heart, just keep on hiding, even though it may feel like it's nothing happening at this point. And understand it's the breaking up of the soil of your heart. It's the disking of that word, mixing it in with your life, that the kingdom, which starts out as a seed in your heart, will begin to grow. And it'll begin to develop. And out of that long process and the watering is the teachings of God's word. You let the teachings of Moses rain down on us. So when you hear the teachings, you go to VFN TV, understand you're watering that seed. You're watering that soil. If you try to live without water, you know, you're not going to have a harvest. But you got to plant the seed, hide the seed, let the soil be tilled in your heart. Let the thing be disced up, mixed up inside the soil of your heart. But then you got to continue to let the teachings of Jesus just rain down over you. And that's why you can go to VFN TV and let them rain down over you.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden, one day, when it looked like it was over, I mean, what once was a forest is now flatland, total dirt. You don't see anything because everything is underground. But underground, if you were to look, you can see that dead seed now became alive and is starting to bud. And one day, there's nothing more exciting than when you're planting a garden when you see that first break out of the soil.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just beautiful. And so this is a move of God. I mean, it's going to come with great brokenness. It's a stiff-necked, stubborn, hard-hearted, robbing God culture right now in
That's
the church.
Right.
And we're going to talk about in the extra hour that we are a subculture and not a counterculture. We're called to be nonconformists to the culture of this world. And we're so conformed. I'm going to talk to you. Listen. This is going to blow you away, but you got to catch the extra hour. We have ministers putting peanut butter in armpits of other believers and making a sandwich with it in the presence of the church. Listen, we're going to talk about this is what's going on right now. Hundreds and hundreds of young people are watching ministers stand on the stage as adults are leaving just disgusted.
Wow.
Mm.
Because we've taken on the world. And you got to hear about this. We got to stop it. We're not called to be or act like the world. We're called to be in it, but not of it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And we're called to be transformed and not to be nonconformist when it comes to the cultures, the sinful cultures of the world, but to be in it, but not of it. And we're going to talk about it. It's just terrible things are taking place. And it's because the church has become like the world, a subculture to it. But believe it or not, that's crazy. You ain't heard it. You got to tune into the extra hour today to be able to hear more about that.
Wow.
But this is how, you know, the only way you're going to deal with junk like that is like huge brokenness. You know, you're going to have to take everything away, and then you're going to have to begin to restore it and plow it and plant it and water it for a while with the teachings of God's word and begin to get that seed watered. And you can set yourself up now for a great harvest to come if you listen to these processes and how God does things. You can't just look at the soil and scream at it and say, produce something. You can't stand on the soil of your heart and look up to heaven and shout at God and say, what's your problem? How come something hasn't happened yet? And he's like, you're hard-hearted. You will not let me do anything. Anything that comes in your life that brings brokenness, you avoid it. Mm. You avoid all these relationships because they cause you to be broken and humbled and causes you to be needy and all these different things. And you don't want that. So you're hard-hearted and seed doesn't grow on hard hearts.
Right.
But the kingdom of God is like a seed. This is what Jesus said. It's like a seed. And it goes inside of us. And at that point, there's a small part of God's dominion in our life. And it has to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And if we will allow God to begin, as we're abiding with Jesus, to transform us, it will get bigger and bigger. And eventually, there'll be less of us and more of him.
Right. Mm-hmm.
As we get more of him, there'll be less of us. We cannot make less of us to get more of him, because that would be works. But as we receive more of Jesus and his ways grow in our life, and then all of a sudden we just start disappearing and we're okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to encourage you. You know, we're talking about a third great awakening, and this is what you hear us talk about on VFN Radio. It's going to take, brokenness is coming. I mean, brokenness is coming. We've prepared and prepared and prepared so that we can, by God's grace, stay faithful. But it's just nothing more irritating than somebody that won't die. I'm not talking about, you remember the old movies, you know, the old black and white movies, and they take them like 20 minutes to die. They throw their head back and they walk across.
Right.
And it's like, you know,
like, die already.
This
please.
Is so unfair. This is so unfair because, you know, you died a long time ago and you got somebody who's actually justifying why they're not dying.
Mm.
So it's just like, die. What are you living for? You know, die. Mm-hmm. And not death, but die to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to take a lot of dying in America to ourselves, the church, because it's such an idolatrous culture.
That's right.
It's about self. It really is about self. I mean, you cannot build a traditional flower pot unless you have 4 points about self and how to be a better self. But if you start talking about deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me, and quit robbing God and all these different things, you could downsize your flower pot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You can downsize it. Remember, Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. You know, then his disciples said, okay, we can order a smaller building now. We can lease this one out.
Mm.
All right.
We need something about the size of 12. It'll hold 12. This is what happened.
All right.
And so understand that if God's going to move, and we believe he will, if we'll respond to him, and it means we're willing to be plowed, we're willing to be pruned, we're willing to be disked. We're willing to be go through the process of seed time, understanding there's seed time and there's harvest time. There's no harvest time without seed time.
Mm.
And then allow the teachings, of the true teachings from God's word, not just some sort of touch three people and shout, it's mine, you know, none of that kind of stuff. But just teachings from God's word that you can verify in scriptures, this is what God says. Then that will water that seed and God will move.
Mm-hmm.
But he responds to us. He responds to our hunger. What produces hunger? Desperation.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
We have to be quite often in a, we take water for granted unless we're in a desert.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We're real picky about food unless we haven't had food for a while.
All right.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Even warm water. I think if Pat goes without water for like 30 days, he'll even drink warm water.
Imagine that. I like to see that.
They know your secret now. They'll tell Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, bow before this thing, but they'll tell him, you drink the warm water. I know God can deliver me from this, but even if he doesn't, he's still God. He drinks the water. But that means that we can get involved in a move of God, that we can begin to participate. So many times, one man got hungry for God, and God responded. Now it's time for his whole church to get hungry for him.
Mm.
All of us to respond to the great shepherd. Listen, I don't care if your back is against the Red Sea and Pharaoh. your mother-in-law or father-in-law or your children or your boss or your country is coming after you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't over till God says it's over.
Mm.
And he says that if my people who are called by my name will understand this process, humbling yourself is not just, you know, making yourself look sad.
Mm-hmm.
It's following God's way of doing things.
Mm.
It's total dependency on God. This is how God does things. I need to humble myself. I need to allow God to break my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be willing to suffer loss, delay,
mm-hmm.
Brokenness. I have to be willing for people to leave me who don't want God. I have to be willing to be called the devil when I'm actually doing the best I've ever done for God.
Right.
So you're calling me the devil now? I mean, what about the time? And they called Jesus Satan. You got to be willing to be hated by man to be loved by God. And there is a teaching that I want to make available on VFN TV. You got to hear it. Are you ready to be hated? You have to understand, we're moving into a culture right now. We're coming to the end of the first hour. That, by the way, if you don't know this or not, you're hated. But you have to be willing to be hated for a move of God.
That's right.
For God to move and pour himself out. And right now, there is just, Satan is just, Pat Robinson calls it, no, not Pat Robinson, but somebody else called it, one of our intelligent officers that said that Islam is having a temper tantrum across the earth because somebody, you know, blasphemed their prophet. And America needs to rise up to the occasion and say, knock it off. And
right.
That was his response. And they're not right now. And we'll talk more about that in the extra hour. But understand this, that the God's greater than all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And but it may take that stuff for the church to be broken, to be humbled.
Mm.
This is what he says in his word. He says very specifically that the reason why pagans rule over your kings, your priests, and all of you is because of your sin. We're never going to change into godly leadership until we ourselves put God's leadership in our heart. We have to intentionally follow God in our hearts. That's how things change.
Right.
And it looks like pagan leaders, I mean, you know, literally pagans. We have people that are in our leadership, they're going to work, people openly going, hey, I'm a pagan.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you know, wow. I really respect you because most pagans don't even say they are.
That's right.
It's always interesting to me, why does somebody deny a God they don't believe in? It's like, why waste your breath and your time? It's right. Because you know he's real.
That's right.
And if your plane was going down, you're not going to cry out, pagan, you're going to cry out, Jesus, God, help me. It's amazing how that works. But praise God, we're coming to the end. Let's believe God for a great awakening, third great awakening in America. But we're coming to the end of the first hour. Stay tuned for the extra hour as we're going to share with you some prophetic happenings, a wisdom moment, and about Libya, the Secret Service. It's going to really encourage, enlighten, and hopefully inspire you.